Amen. Wonderful time of worship, celebrating our King. So thankful that each of you are here today. We are going to continue in our series talking about what it is to be a member of the local body of Christ. The scriptures speak often about the role that we are to play in these things, and that we would be submissive to the authority of His Word, and even as we're growing, that God would be convicting us and shaping us and sanctifying us. And we opened in week one by looking at what is covenant membership and why that's a valuable thing for us to be participating in, simply just agreeing together. This is what we're here to do together. And to love each other in that way, and to be on purpose and agreement, having common ground. We looked last week at worship, and we started in that to looking at the five priorities of membership as we see in the scriptures, and those are worship, service, discipleship, accountability, and testimony. And so we want to focus on these in the coming weeks. And so last week we looked at worship and just saw the beautiful opportunity we have as God's people to exalt His name. That worship is not just singing, it's exalting His name on high in everything we do, in everything we think and say. It's a chance to worship and the way He's wired us. And we looked at the privileged opportunity to be worshiping Him daily and making a priority in our day to be spending time with Him, to not have our Christianity or relationship with God be something that's occasional or scattered, but that we would actively be feasting in His Word and walking with Him, that we would be financially worshiping and committing and recognizing that in Scripture we're called to steward what He has entrusted to us for His glory, for His purposes, and that we are called in Scripture to make sure that if we are the body of Christ at this local church, if this is the church that we're dining at, participating and benefiting by, then we are to bring the resources that God has put into our lives to be a part of this, that we would participate in that way and faithfully steward what God's given us for His glory. And so we looked and kind of ended that service. I kind of called us together to say, as we're getting ready to make our shifts in worship, that you would be really thinking about how you're going to be involved in this coming season by going to two services in this building, 9 and 11. It's the first time this has been offered. And so what does that mean for your Sunday mornings? My prayer is, as we talk today, that it doesn't mean you get to come earlier and get on with your Sunday. My prayer is that you get to now have an opportunity to serve with that other hour and really steward that day differently. And so if you didn't fill out last week's survey about which service you're planning to kind of commit to and be part of, we really need you to do that. We need that insight from everyone. So that survey is on the back table. If you could just take a quick second and pencil that out. I want to avoid having to have our team have to call people, and you can just knock that out today by filling that out and letting us know where you're at with that. That'd be really helpful. So I want to dig into service today. What does the Bible have to say about serving? Well, first of all, the word service is using our God-given gifts to sacrificially minister to and love others. Using what the gifts that God's given you to minister to and love others. As a Christian, your service is your ministry. The Greek word for ministry means to attend upon someone. It's an other-centered effort. It's not something we do for selfish gain. Within our mission statement as a church, and again, as the body of Christ, we want this mission statement to be ours, not mine or the staff's or the elders, but ours as a church. And that we would really live it out. And our mission statement is that we exist, this church exists, to glorify God through lives that are being transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we close our eyes to look at what a transformed life is, we see three pillars, three unremovable legs to make that all sound and healthy and whole. And what a transformed life is someone who is growing in their enjoyment of God and their satisfaction in Him, unto authentic worship in Him. That someone who is growing within community, and talk more about that in the weeks to come, being sanctified, growing in the study of His Word, in the walking edification of the saints as we journey together as a family. The third leg is someone who is growing in their love for others. That as Christ is transforming us, we are becoming more other-centered. We are genuinely, authentically looking to give ourselves away to be a blessing to those around us. John 8, verse 34 says, "A new command I will give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another." This is not an optional thing. Those who have been bathed and renewed in the blood of Jesus, have been reborn, have been given new life in Christ, we are commanded to let that love that we are receiving generously flow and be given out to other people. Service is sacrificial love. It's selfishness, it's sin that causes us to only do what is good for us. It is selfish love that causes me to only serve people when it is good in the end for me. And if we're really honest, we struggle with that in our flesh. We evaluate, okay, I'm going to do this, but only if it really fits what's good for me in the end. As a staff, we're talking regularly about a lot of opportunities to be serving people, and it comes up where sometimes you really go out of your way to help people or give time that's precious to you away or whatever that might be, and really go out of your way. And sometimes what you get on the back end of that is really hard. No thankfulness, sometimes even greater expectation, not even acknowledgement of what's been done, but, oh, I expect more. Could you still do this? And sometimes even disregard. Or even to the point of spitting upon what was done to go, that doesn't even mean anything. And sometimes our flesh wants to rail up against that and go, how dare you? Do you see what I did? Do you see the time I took for that? And the point is that in Christ, we don't love others because of what we're going to get out of it. We don't love others because there's a guarantee that they're going to perform on a level we want them to perform. No, we love others and we give it away because he has loved us. Because the satisfaction that we have is in him, not in the performance of those that we're going to serve or how we might benefit back by what we're going to give away. And that is a huge bridge for us to cross in how we steward our days and manage our lives that we must do business with. Selfless and sacrificial love causes us to love others at a cost to us, but many times with no benefit back to us. That is real sacrificial love. John 15:13. Greater love has none than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That when we were God's enemy, wanted nothing to do with him, he pursued us, loved us, sacrificially gave his life away to the end. That is huge. That is a beautiful model. The reality, though, is because we're naturally sinful and selfish, we are only able to love in that way when God is at work in us. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. In verse 7, it jumps into a very famous passage, but it's good for us to see it this morning. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. I think a lot of people stop right there in how they understand the love that God's given. They see it as something that God has given us, something he created or manifested, and he said, here, this is for you. But it goes on. It says, anyone who loves is born of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. We need to understand that God is love. These verses do not state that God was love or one day will be, but is, present to tense. The Greek word there is I am love. Love is not from God. That is too narrow of a view of an understanding of this. We need to see that love is God. The eternal, always has been, is, and always will be relationship of the Holy Trinity. That perfect relationship is life. It is love. Therefore, in our sin, apart from Christ, under the right wrath of God, separated from the Holy Trinity, rightly separated in our sin. We only in this life know counterfeit love. We don't know real love. Your unsaved family or friends don't know real love apart from God. They know a counterfeit substitute because they do not know God. So we have to start there. If we are going to serve genuinely, authentically, we must know God. We must be restored to Him. Let's read on. Verse 9, 1 John 4:9. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Again, that's the key, living through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. When we are contemplating loving others, and loving our enemies and loving those who are against us, we got to see the gospel is that He pursued us when we wanted nothing to do with Him. We did not go to Him. He was faithful. He was steadfast. He was sacrificial. It's not about what you learn from God and how to love. You got to see that your genuine love is the overflow of your relationship with Him. So many times we approach the scriptures and we approach the Christian life to go, okay, this is what I need to learn. And now because I've learned that, I'm going to go do it. And somehow it's like God's over here and now I'm trying to please Him and honor Him and do the right thing over here. That's religion. It is Him intimately working in and through us that causes these things. The religious manifesto just says, hey, here's the rules. Work real hard to go live up to them. And the reality is when you try to do it that way, out of your own power, people are going to see right through it. We're going to see when you're trying to do something good for them that either you're motivated by something you're going to get out of it, or you're motivated, or the other way to say that is, or it's not a genuine love. There's something superficial about it. First John 4:7, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. If you're here today, you don't know God, you never repented of your sin, you're not walking with God as Lord and King, Savior, to know love, you must know God. So we can't talk about serving and loving others until we start there. God has given us a sweet love that is unlike anything else to share with one another. His work in and through us is amazing. His economy, His design for us in the church is that we are to be together, plural, in a community, not out on our own. We are to love others, but we are never to forget. And verse 19, look down at verse 19, says it so well, that we love because He first loved us. It is worth memorizing, worth feasting on, thinking about. Anytime you're tempted to kind of love someone out of your own obligation or whatever motivation, that you realize you are only genuinely loving others because He first loved you. In my 15 plus years of pastoring the church, I've seen a major flaw in Christianity and how we understand love, that we often think we find God through Christ and then we learn how to love and then we end up trying to go out and do that and we miss what it is to be in Christ, for Him to be working in and through us, to see that that relationship and deepen that relationship is so central. So many of us still struggle with the compartmentalization of our faith. Here's my Christian world life interaction. Here's my normal life. Somehow we separate it. But you see, everything that you are is His, is Him working in and through you. we love because he first loved us. So the question practically for us today, for the church, for those who are not part of the church because you're not saved, the first and foremost thing you must see and witness and God must do is awaken your dead heart with saving faith that you would see and savor him and trust in him, that you would be his, wholly his, so that you know this love, so that you can act on this in this way. Now, for the church who is his, who he is moving in and through, the question is, how or are you loving others? Because we are commanded again and again and again in the scriptures that we are to be obedient to, that we are to recognize this is being the church. This is the life of the Christian played out in love for those outside the church and in the church. So let's look at what that looks like practically, what it looks like to love those who are outside the church and inside the church. I want to start with those outside the church. Look at Luke, turn to Luke, just the earlier part of the New Testament there. Third Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke chapter 6, big chapter, down to verse 31. Let's look at a few of these verses together. Luke 6, 31. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Golden rule. Another verse worth memorizing, knowing, thinking about. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. So what that's saying is you think about, okay, am I loving others, to answer that question? If your answer is, yeah, I really am only loving those who are nice or loving back to me, then the Bible's saying, okay, that's nice, but that's not, well, even sinners do that. Can't stop there. If you love, if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. It says to the Christians, to the church, that we are to love our enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. You have to see that God's kindness to the ungrateful and the wicked that we are called to then do to others, you have to see and never move past this gospel truth. We were the ungrateful and the wicked. So who are we to say, thank you, God, for that, and then look to our enemy and say, nah, not for you. I'm just going to love my family, my homies, my friends. It's calling us out that we are to love the outsiders, those who we don't agree with, those who when we see them, they are gross to us. Those who do life on a trajectory that we don't like, those who participate in evil and wicked things. We are to hate the sin as God hates the sin. But we are called as the church to love our enemies. Jesus gives us this charge. We are to love others. Loving others is the mission that God has us on. This is what missional living is. That term, missional living, it simply means an outward or an other focus. The goal is expressing in that other focus, that outward focus, the love of Christ. Jesus telling his followers, do not remove yourselves from the world and create a little isolated sub-Christian culture, but go into the broken world, go to the ends of the earth and share this gospel and love your enemies. Why? Because if you don't love your enemies, the gospel message does not stand out from what sinners do to sinners. It is the brightness of the gospel on display. And when we refuse to do it, we dim down the light and we make it look like everybody else. And therefore, a testimony is nothing. Taught his followers to engage in the world. The church is not created for itself. It's created to worship God, to spread His love to others. We are created for a missional purpose. Those of us who are in the church have got to have hearts that break for those who have not experienced the truth. This church will not measure its success by our attendance, by our fancy productions, nice buildings. We will measure our faithfulness, our success, by the fact that our disciples being made, are we loving those that God is putting in our path sacrificially? Is He sanctifying us? Are we at work under the things He has called us to do? And so for our members, for those of us who are committed to this mission, we must be attentive to this. So let me give you four practical ways to do this as far as loving others outside the church. And then we're going to turn to our main focus to how we love each other within the church today due to the season we're in and how we need to do a little business this morning. Here's a quick definition for loving others, especially outside the church. It is meeting their practical needs in order to build authentic relationships with them so that we can share the gospel in word and deed. We have to learn to invest in those who are outside the church. We have to learn to literally meet their practical needs. If the church is constantly removed, going, oh no, I'm not going to help that practical need, but I want to talk to you about the love of God. We are to engage, to be sacrificial, to give away, to meet people's practical needs. And in that, the love of Jesus shines. In that, we get to share the gospel testimony in word and deed. So how do we do this? There's just four quick things to consider. Number one, the sharing of your testimony. You must be bold enough, willing to have ridicule or whatever. Modern society is too slow to share our testimony because we're worried about being ridiculed. We're worried about this politically even manifesto that everyone's buying into. Oh, you just keep that to yourself. No. I love you enough, even if you hate it, to share the good news of life, eternal life, in opposition to eternal death. You can spit at me, throw me out, make fun of me. I will not hold that in. We must be bold in that and be willing to share and testify. Number two is relationships. Are you intentionally cultivating relationships with outsiders? We must, church, work to not be the church that only has relationships with people in the church. And if you give it enough time and we're not attentive to the scriptures enough, we will do this. So some of you are sitting there going, hey man, I've done a good job with that. I have some good relations with outsiders. And again, I come back to the first one. That is of no good if your testimony is quiet. So there is a tension there by which some people who are outside the church will just in the end decide, you know what? Frank and Susie or Tony and whatever, let's spend less time with them. I'm tired of the Jesus thing. You know what? That's their decision. But that we would be cultivating those relationships, earning trust, building a relationship, meeting their practical needs, getting to know them so that the testimony of Christ is seen in word and deed. It's not just words, it's deeds. It's them seeing the uniqueness of how Christ is working in our sacrificial love for them. Who is that in your life? Church, if you don't have people you are regularly pursuing, you need to repent of that today and begin that journey today. Pull out, flip your sermon notes over, write down on that piece of paper, who are some people that you need to prayerfully begin to engage? We have gotten in the habit of being all too lazy with not inviting people into this wonderful thing that we know. Don't be so selfish. This is not a private club that other people who are out there don't get to come be part of. We can love and minister to a witness and share the gospel with people. It is salvation is a very exclusive thing by which God has to work in hearts, but that's up to Him. It's up to us to set the table. So who are the people you are investing in building relationships with? I am poignantly asking you to begin today by confessing and repenting if you have not done this, and seriously begin the journey of praying as an individual, as a couple, as a family. Who are those that we're going to start spending time with? I want to give you a date 1 month from now by which you are targeting in the next 4 weeks in building those relationships to risk by inviting and bringing people to church. When we roll out the two new services in this room, and the new sermon series we're going to kick up with one another, it is going to be a beautiful season for those who are not in the church to see what the church is with clear Bible teaching and be able to come and be a part of all that God's doing. So thankful for the work that's being done and in all the areas of ministry to faithfully steward what God's given us. We need to invite people into that, not selfishly keep it to ourselves, which means you guys have to make time to invest and risk. We are going to split into two services whereby in the coming seasons, we're going to have room for people to come join us. And we need to do that. So I'm going to ask you to very poignantly do this in this season. Some churches rail on their people all the time to do it. Maybe I'm guilty of not doing that enough. I should hold you more accountable to this. But I'm going to do it right now in this season that you're really focusing towards bringing people and inviting people in September and October and in this fall launch. Very intentionally. It's time. If you've been waiting, if you've been lazy in this, it is time to step up and begin to do that. And then when we move into the new campus a couple years from now, we will make another big push for this. This is us risking to love others and bring them around the body of Christ and the testimony of the gospel and the preaching of the word. We must do that. Number three is ministry. Are you using your God-given talents and resources to love others, not just in the church, we'll get to that in a minute, but outside the church, to be a blessing? And when you're a blessing, don't omit the fact that Christ is your everything, is your power, is your motivation, is your satisfaction. Let the gospel testimony be linked to what it is you're doing. So what are those things? Growling Dog Barbecue Team, launched so many years back, has done dozens and dozens and hundreds of events to love those in our juvie system and those who are hurting and struggling. They're doing events almost every week. You can volunteer, be part of that team. That's a way you can love our community. There's other ways to volunteer, different ministries in town. We have a fund here at our church with tens of thousands of dollars in it that you are not spending. It's yours to spend. So its purpose for this particular fund is to mobilize you, the local body, into this community. It is not a fund for just sending money away to a project or to foreign missions. We have other delegations for that. This particular fund is yours to mobilize these people, you, into this community with the gospel. There's a simple application process online. We're asking you to do it in groups and not as individuals. Get with some other people who are members here as a base and say, this is our desire, this is our dream, share it with us, let us dream with you so that we can help be more involved in projects and the way this is happening. Let me give you an example. Just yesterday, a group of people did their third or fourth event at the homeless shelter, by which they came early in the morning, set up tables, crafts, gifts, Bibles, and put on at the homeless shelter this whole event, craft workshop, gifts, loving people, hugging people, praying with people. These people gave up their Saturday to love people they don't know in our city who are homeless. They had 75 people a part of this event. It was like four or five people from our church. We helped fund it. They did it. It was amazing. Bibles were given. Prayers were said. And they're going to come back. They're going to continue on this track, trying to build relationships with the people by which in word and deed the gospel is being shared, by which maybe hopefully people are here with us. That's one example of so many. And then finally, just projects, just you know, the different things that we're doing on a bigger scale. Missions that we're doing, projects that we're doing, sending funds and other ways to love people around the world, love outsiders. So we need to be in all these things. Listen to 1 Corinthians 13:1-7. I pray we're convicted by this. I pray it's mobilizing us. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:1-7, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Pray with me about this. Lord, Father, we need you to break the hearts of this community for the lost that surround us. That every time we walk into a grocery store or a pizza parlor or our work offices or out into the fields, into the classroom, that we see that that day, that hour, that moment you have given to us to be on mission, to be a bright light, that we would be unashamed, that we would follow the lead of the early church by which they did these things and they were stoned to death for it. Lord, I am sorry for how casual and flippant and ignorant we have been to this. Break our hearts for those that you are putting in our path. Move us from the TV to take the cure for eternal life to those who are dead. Do this, Lord. We need you to move in us this hour, to grow us and shape us and mature us unto these things. Pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. The other aspect of loving those, serving those that we are called to serve is those in the church. Another area of confession, repentance, accountability we must be aware of is you are selfishly participating in this family if all you do is receive. You are a family member. You must participate in what this family means. God has gifted you to do something. There are no body parts in the body of Christ that sit on a chair and watch the body do what it does. Right? You are a part. You have a function. If you are a kneecap and you choose to be lazy and not serve, the whole right leg, therefore the whole body is impacted. We must hear these scriptures. 1 Peter 4:10-11, as each has received, each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Don't miss what the command at the top of this section ends up doing. We do this for his glory, for his eternal dominion and reign forever and ever. And therefore, it's not just a little optional thing by which you're going to say, you know what, I feel like I participate in other ways. I don't need to be serving in the church. There's a lot of people floating around to a lot of churches trying to find that place that fits their description of what they think the church should be. We're just simply trying to get to the word and to be what it says here. Each has received a gift. If you are saved, you are gifted, you are called, you have been prepared to be active in ministry. You don't have to wait for a call from God. If you are saved, you are called. You don't have to wait to be prepared. You are prepared to serve somewhere. You might not be prepared to do certain things yet in the maturity of your faith, but that's not the point. The point is, are you serving? Are you committed and involved? Romans 12:3-8, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the many members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us put them in a box and get to them in a couple years. Let us make excuses as to why we're too busy doing other things and therefore can't serve in the church. Let us use them. Early in ministry, I had a young couple that was influenced by counsel from someone else. And the counsel was, hey, and you're about to get married, and in your first year or two of marriage, you should be so focused on one another that you step out of all ministry in the church. And I heard that. I'm like, all right, there is definitely a new season by which you should be focusing on one another. Habits should change, all the rest of it. Biblically, that is terrible counsel. Because we are not called to stop using our gifts and be absent from the ministry. God's given me another day. I'm going to serve him with it. If, you know, and some people go, man, well, I've served a lot of years in the church and, you know, I feel like I put in my time. It's time for someone else. Well, that might be true related to a certain kind of ministry, but that's not true related to ministry. You are done serving in this army when he takes you home. We will commend you as a graduate from ministry when we look at you in the grave or in your wherever. That's when you're done. Until then, there is something. There is something. And it might be different than what these guys are doing over here. It might be different than what you did in the past. But what are you committed to? Where are you serving? You have other commitments that keep you from that. I love you enough to say those commitments need to change. You have a job that keeps you from serving in the church. You are a member of the local church. God has ordained you to do a part. There is something that you can regularly be doing. Maybe the job needs to change. Guys, we got it, this Western thing that we treat church like a buffet. We take out of it what we want. We ignore what we don't want. It doesn't work that way. And I am sorry because I have not done a good enough of a job pressing on our church with these truths to keep us accountable. And I will have to stand before God and I will have to face that. But we're in it now and we've got to do this. This turn we're taking now as a church is in a significant turn. One of the things that we've had to kind of repent of is overstaffing our church in this last season. We literally were on the brink of financial ruin at one point because our staff and our expenditures were so big. Conviction that I've had in this last season is a new staff model by which we very uniquely put into place some people who we need on the ground all week long who are less doers and more equippers of others, because the goal of the elders and the staff and the deacons is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The modern church, though, has hired so many staff members, have made it such a country club that basically you come, you tithe, you come to worship, and you pay a staff to do the work of the ministry for you. Unto which there's families that are growing these last couple of decades that have no idea what discipling their kids looks like. Why? Because their kids are involved in 8 programs a week at church by which the professionals are discipling your kids. So we have very purposefully over this last season stripped back all of that programming. And now in this season, stripped back our staff model. Why? Because what that does is it opens up to give you back the ministry of the church as it should be. Now, here's the consequence of that. We will not be as attractive of a church, because when church shoppers are shopping for church or they don't know any better, they go, I want all these options. And oh, man, that look at wow, that is so awesome. Like, so we will not be as big of a church. Our legacy in this city will probably not be the, oh, wow, to be involved in all this stuff, you got to go check out this place. That won't be us. You know what I want our legacy to be in this city? Especially as families. If you want to be equipped, the Word of God, to be disciple makers of your kids and grow deep in your marriage, that's the church. They will partner with you in that. Now, we have a lot of growing to do. I'm on the phone. I was on the phone for 2.5 hours with one of our candidates. We're narrowing down the process for our family pastor hire. This is a big part of what he's going to do. This is a big hire for our church. The only other associate that's going to be on our staff pastor in this new model. And it was a joy to talk about this vision, these things, and be in agreement about what this looks like. To really create something where families are growing and getting healthy and strong in the Word and in discipling their kids and giving you the tools and the training and what's needed to do that. I'm excited. I'm excited to give you back the ministry of this church. And it takes a lot of work for us to stay committed as volunteers, to be in communication with each other, to follow through well. But it starts by you jumping in. By you committing. Now, some of you have been serving and you'll continue to serve in the capacities you're serving, and that's awesome. Some of you are serving in 18 different things, and I'm really going to try to help you work hard to get that pared down so you can do fewer things better. Because what we need to do is not just be so busy spinning plates that we never slow down and have enough time to bring a brother or sister alongside of us and teach them how to duplicate what that thing is. So you only have that time if you're doing fewer things better. Some of you are serving in ministries or things that are going to change or shift. And so there's going to be a new opportunity to jump into something new. Some of you are in a season whereby you just have not been serving regularly, or you've been in a season where you've kind of checked out and it's time to check back in. God willing, by the end of this hour, you're pursuing us, filling out what we're about to look at to say, yes, I want back in. I'm ready to jump in and commit to something. Let me be really honest with you. My hope is that your Sunday involvement moving forward in our church is not just come and attend and absorb and then go, but that you would come and attend and absorb and worship and be a part, and then be also have something that you're doing to serve, to play a part. So my hope is that for the majority of our members, we are serving both hours. Some of you will have such a large commitment to another ministry elsewhere whereby that might not necessarily be the case. But for a lot of us, we're here both hours because we're serving in the other hour. And one of the reasons why we've given you two similar church services now is for a lot of you who said, man, to serve in the great room hour means I'm losing that service and the rest of it. Well, now you have that. So that's gone. Now you get to have that service and it's great. And praise God. And so we get to jump in. So in your bulletin, reach into this and grab this with me. We need to be practical about this morning. You need to help us so we can help you. Everybody doing their part is what this flyer says in your bulletin. Every individual, I need to ask you to pull out a pen and put it on paper. I don't need this from you as a couple. I need it from you as an individual. And your name, your email, your phone number. Don't sign up your neighbor. That won't work for us. We just need you to indicate where are you already serving, or where do you desire to serve as we step forward. Now, we have some really important needs in these areas. There are some things that are not on this page, so you might write down below or on the side something else you're doing, or maybe you want to say, hey, do I need to continue to do this thing? I'm willing to make a change, whatever that might be. So that's okay. Let me talk you through a few of these. We are moving to two services now. That means we need two full-blown kids ministry teams on the ground. I met with some of our leadership yesterday for 3 hours. Yes, I worked all day Saturday, all day Friday night, because that's what this season takes until we get some more leadership involved, but also because I'm trying to get away for a week with my family, so I need to get a bunch of work done so I can check out. So you can pray for me for that. I finally get a little vacay this next week. I'm excited about that. This three-hour meeting yesterday, we dug in looking at where can we put some really important people in some really important positions who have been being trained and prepared for team leading and the rest of that. And we're actually shifting where we're going to put some really strong, gifted people in kids ministry because we want to embolden that area. But we need you to really seriously think top priority if you are able or gifted to jump in with the kids, babies, up through high school, how might you do that? Some of you are going, man, I don't like kids. Do I understand that? Some people are just not wired for it. Kids can be offended. They'll get over it. So I get that. So maybe you're not like on the floor with the kids interacting with the craft of the game or the lesson, but you know what? Maybe you're doing something different. One of our very faithful older guys, Roger Pels, is a great example to me in this. Literally weeks before he died, he was still greeting our families every Sunday, welcoming people, hugging on them, welcoming them, bringing them in. Maybe that's something you do. Maybe you're behind the scenes working with the snack or the craft setup. Maybe you are in the room learning, taking what you're growing in the Lord to do a lesson, to be an assistant leader, helping to run tech in kids ministry, or with youth ministry, maybe considering to jump in and get to know our teenagers and maybe being a small group leader or helping with some of the facets of kids, of youth ministry. So there's some opportunities there. Midweek, we're ramping up our groups that we're doing midweek. So we want to offer kids club for our parents who have little ones to come to those groups. So maybe that's where you can say, hey, it's Sunday, it's second hour. Like, that's not going to work, but I can commit to an evening in the week. That's where I'll start serving. That will be my regular thing. Sunday morning, this, let me give you a quick idea of this real quick. In 3 or 4 weeks, when we close escrow, this campus is no longer ours. We're tenants here as we get ready to build our new campus. We're here for 2 years. The next building over, building 10, will be All Drive Church's ministries around the clock, 7 days a week. That's where you'll go for meetings and for groups and all the rest of it. Only on Sundays will we have building 6 for kids ministry, where you dropped your kids off this morning, from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. We're refurbing that building, new carpet, new stage. You can see all that coming together right now. Praise God for the hard work that's gone into that. And we get this building from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. What that means is that we don't get to have it all set up Thursday night. And we just walk in. No, no, no. This will be an empty room with an empty stage, meaning we have to arrive and set up church. There are some churches out there who literally have to drive their trailers, pull it all out of the trailer, set up the entire thing. Praise God, we don't even have to do that. We just got to come in, set up some chairs, put some of the decorations, communion and other things up, coffee bar, set all that up. So some of you, we need to say, hey, I'm cool to get up early in the morning. I will come and be part of that setup crew. I'm in. And maybe you're like, I can't lift chairs, but maybe you can help put coffee together or something else, put up a pop-up tent. We also then at the end of that hour need to clean up. So it means all the chairs have to go away. We're going to vacuum. We're going to clean the bathrooms. We're going to give it back to Valley as good stewards of God's resources, better than we found it. Do you agree? Should we do that? Okay. So I need your help to do that, please. So we need people to do that, to jump in and say, hey, you know what? I'll be part of that team. I can do that. That'd be awesome. Or maybe you're saying, you know what? I love to host. I love to help be part of greeting people in the parking lot, in the hallway, handing out bulletins, helping with communion, setting up, hosting. The hosting facet's going to include the coffee bar and some of those aspects of hospitality. You're like going, hey, I could do that. I'd love to be part of that team, faithfully a part of that team. Worship tech media. We need more people involved in the tech worship space. Some of you guys say, hey, I have some skills in that area. I'm willing to be trained. Maybe we are interested in that. During the week, midweek, we're going to need some people to come into building 10 and just and give it kind of a touch over to vacuum and clean and do other things. My mom's ministry, my mom who's in heaven now, died at the age of 60 last September of Alzheimer's after 9 years. Praise God for her faith and testimony. Her service for years in our home church, big kitchen, she for years went, that her ministry, her committed thing was she went in twice a week and cleaned the kitchen. Counters, tops, refrigerator, restocked it, washed the towels. You would think the church would be so good at how they use the kitchen, it just wouldn't have needed that. Well, hang around a little more. In church, you know, we're still family, right? We don't always do all that well. But she faithfully did it. That's not a lower demeaning job. Yeah, that's not a less important thing than the guy who's teaching a Sunday school class. It's important. It needs to be done. So some people would say, hey, I'm willing to come in. I don't work during the day. I could come in with a team. We could clean. We could do some custodial. We love to do that. And then office reception admin. Maybe you're willing to answer phones, be trained how to do that, help us do some administrative things behind the scenes. We can use some help there. Maybe you're thinking of something else that you want to put down. Hey, what about this? You know, you might be good in Kung Fu and you want to give it, you know, share that with us. I don't know. Whatever it is. So I need you to please, every individual, fill this out. We'll collect them in baskets on the way out the door. Communicate with us because we have the next 3 weeks to not only build these teams up, but to get together and do some training so that when September 14th hits, we are ready to rock and roll. Now, because you're going to be serving the other hour means you still bring people the hour you're going to be coming to or inviting people. So let's be doing both of those together. Next Sunday, we're going to give you an invite flyer. You're going to be able to take a stack of them for the next 3 or 4 weeks. Use those to start really purposely inviting people to the fall season. Let's finish by looking back at this word. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. As each of us have received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to him belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 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 Pray with me. Father, you are worthy. You are worthy of these things shaking us up, upsetting what has become normal, that we would be faithful and committed to you, our general, our king's authority in our lives. That we would see in Christ, our lives are yours, and it is our joy to serve you as you have instructed us to do so. I pray, God, you would make our hearts break for those in our city, that this church would become more and more known for how we are out in the city loving on those who are hard to love, that the gospel would be shining bright, our testimony would be strong, that you would move mightily in and through us. God, we need you to do this work in us, to sanctify us, to convict us, that we would be willing to talk with each other and to really, truly jump in. I am excited about what is coming. I'm excited about what you're doing, that it would all glorify you. So we're yours. As we go out into this week, God, that we would be actively on mission. As we gather together this week to study in your word and community groups, get to know each other better, serve and do, work hard in our jobs, love our families, God, that you would move mightily in these things. And we look forward to what you have before us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.